Now look at these Beatitudes. This is number 8. This is the final one of the list of Beatitudes. But you know, 1 to 7, if they are all true of you, if 1 to 7 are true in your life, and they mark your conversion, then you will be ready for persecution. And you can go down the line. The first one in verse 3, those that are poor in spirit, emptied of self. That's the first qualification to be a sufferer for Christ. If you're proud of yourself, you'll never suffer for Christ. Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher. A real privilege to join you again as we bring to you the message of God's Word from our church here in Cloverdale. Matthew 5 is our emphasis and our passage today. The theme of the message in a few moments will be on Blessed Are the Persecuted. These are the words of the Lord Jesus as he stood on the mount where he delivered that so famous sermon, now called the Sermon on the Mount. And the Lord really laid out what it means to be a Christian and what happens when you give your life to be a servant or a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And it is rather foreboding. And we are to weigh the cost. We are to recognize that, you know, we may have the worst in this life for the promises of the best in eternal life. And that's what really makes men and women suffer for Christ, because the gain is before us. And there's a famous saying, no cross, no crown. If we're going to gain the crown, well, we have to be willing to suffer for the Lord Jesus here in this life. Not that there's any merit in suffering, but it is the price of our identification, because we unite with the cause of Christ and abandon the world. Well, let's turn to these Beatitudes and get to that statement where Jesus said, Blessed are the persecuted. Well, let's go to verse 8 where it says, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Well, these are the words of the Savior. And we're going to go straight now to the pulpit ministry of our church, where at a recent evening service, I was preaching this whole series, and this is the final of the Beatitudes, blessed for suffering. Now, that's a conundrum. That's an oxymoron. The world really finds that ridiculous. But for the Christian, this is a reality. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you. So take heart, and may the Lord minister to your heart today as we turn to the message from the pulpit of our church. Matthew 5 is where we find the Beatitudes, and we come to number 8 this evening. And there is a double blessed in this passage. You will notice that we're starting at verse 10, and it goes right through to verse 12. And we're taking this as one beatitude, number 8 in total. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I think there is no question that the news of each day causes us to be alarmed that there is a growing spirit of persecution against the Church of Jesus Christ around this world. Reading some commentators going away back to the 1970s, they also were saying, today we are seeing even more persecution than before. And perhaps 30, 40, 50 years from now, if the Lord tarries, they will be saying, my, they had it easy in the early part of the century. Look what's happening to the church today. And I think that we can see that the narrowing of the noose is coming to choke the very work of God and the ministry of the Lord Jesus. There are two forces at work that causes tremendous alarm today. One, I think, is very obvious, and that is the advance of the Muslim agenda. And it is no meek and mild agenda. Any religion has a right to evangelize. Any religion has the right to exercise liberty and by normal means advance their cause. But we know that the Muslim faith is doing this by a sword. And this persecution is evidenced almost every week. And some of them is very blatant against Christianity. The burning of churches, the recent burning of a pastor's home, where a daughter was also consumed in that fire. In people who are migrating across the Mediterranean, where a Christian begins to pray because the boat's in danger, and eventually the Muslims throw all the Christians overboard and they're drowned. These are alarming things. Likewise, in Kenya, at that university north of Nairobi, at Garissa University, where they singled out those who could not quote from the Quran. And it shows you how indiscriminate they are. It doesn't matter what kind of Christian you are, or what kind of Christianity or even other religion you have, if you are not Muslim, well, you are singled out for death. The other very fearful force at work, which will seek to choke the church one day, is the gay and lesbian agenda. And recently in the state of Indiana, the governor there was attempting to bring in laws that would give liberty of conscience to businesses, that they might not serve all elements of society. They may withdraw from something of that. And boy, the pressure built so rapidly that the whole thing was reversed, and now they are ensuring that the opposite is the case, even contrary to an individual's conscience. And many were commenting that in that case, it just shows you how rapidly the change in the mood of Americans has developed in the last few years to be pro the gay lesbian agenda. It was always true, but it is all the more true today that the church is in enemy territory. We are not at home. This world is not our home. And the Lord stated from the very beginning that Christians, his disciples, would be hated of all men. The reality is that in the West, anyhow, the church of the Lord Jesus has had it relatively easy. And we have fallen into a very soft, cushioned idea of the witnessing of the church before the world. When we talk about bearing reproach, usually it is reserved for those things like family opposition. And that can be very real. Let's not underestimate that. There are young people that when they announce that they become Christians, they are even ostracized by their family. And that can happen in the West. It can happen in our very communities. And there are wives that live all many years with the wrath of a husband because they're a Christian. And they forbid them to pray openly in the home, and various restrictions are upon them as they try to keep that marriage together and as they try to live for God as well. Now, the very mark of Christianity is that it's going to be hated by the world. And a gospel or Christianity that includes or just synchronizes with the world where it can is not the Christianity of the Bible. And we've got to awaken to that fact. I think we have all become guilty of falling asleep and thinking that if you become a Christian, you have got a very benign and an easy walk. Well, the Lord never promised that. And as we come to this beatitude tonight, we will see how the Lord spoke concerning persecution. And in verse 10, he spoke here about the causes of persecution. Blessed are ye when ye are which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. There's the cause. And when you stand up for righteousness, well, there's going to be a price to pay. Now, I agree with Martin Lloyd-Jones that the greatest definition of righteousness here is Christ-likeness. Some people will commend you because you give up smoking and you give up alcohol. You live a clean life. You're a moral person. You marry. You are faithful in your marriage. You live as an example in all the moral values of society. And people will commend you. There's no persecution for making good decisions in life. But it's when you decide that you're going to live like the Lord Jesus and live holy and be a man or woman of prayer and renouncing the world and living with that command, be ye holy for I am holy, then you begin to realize that the world does not like that. And if you're married to an ungodly man, you'll find that your marriage will be strained. If you're living in an ungodly country and you're seeking to live for God, you'll find the forces, the political agenda against you. And so the Lord say the causes of persecution are righteousness' sake, living Christ-like. The other one is down there in verse 11, they shall say all manner of evil against you for my sake. And what we do for Christ, what we do for his name and for his cause, well, we will find the wrath of man and the hatred of men. The Lord also defined here in this beatitude the evil of persecution. And I want you to notice the terms he uses, the descriptive character of this persecution. It is no mere generality, and it comes in various forms. The word persecute itself means to flee, anything that causes you to flee. And so it is disturbing. It is something that's going to affect all of your life, your peace, your prosperity, your daily routine. And you're going to have to live a totally different life when you're persecuted for Christ. Now, in that persecution, you'll notice that there are a number of terms used, that they will revile you. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you at your name. And you know how hurtful and oppressive it becomes when your name is dragged into the dirt. And when your name is brought up maybe at work or in some public place or school, just because you're a Christian, and the blame's on you, and the witnesses gather against you in their lies. And then it goes on to say, and they shall say all manner of evil against you. It comes in various forms, very sinister forms sometimes, very subtle forms, and forms that you become totally unable to defend yourself. Allegations that these people just mount up against you, and you end up having to walk away with a sense of awful shame. And it might be an accusation that's trumped up. It might be money, it might be morals, it might be some false information. And it seems in the outward it's nothing to do with Christianity at all. But the agenda is to bring you down because you are hated for Jesus' sake. Now, the evil of this, I want you to think of the awful evil of such persecution. Never mind the Muslim sword and the beheadings and the blood and the mayhem that they cause, just the whole spirit of persecuting men and women. Well, it's contrary to the royal commandment that we're to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength and our neighbor as ourselves. Totally contrary to the moral law of God. It's contrary to liberty. We believe in liberty of all men, that there is a freedom that men should enjoy, a freedom to live, a freedom to marry, a freedom to prosper in this world and to provide for themselves. And it's contrary to truth. They say all manner of evil. These are lies. These are defamations to malign your character and to bring you into awful trouble and even get you cast into jail as the disciples were. Then there's the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. All of this spirit of persecution is contrary to the very basics of godliness, righteousness, truth. And of course, God will judge all of these things. God hates all of these things. They are a great evil. Now also in this beatitude, moving out of verse 12, you have the Lord speaking of the history of persecution. For so persecuted they the prophets. Now anyone who knows the Old Testament and those to whom Jesus spoke in Matthew 5, they would have known the Old Testament. And they would know the history of the many that were persecuted. Abel was the first. His brother Cain hated him. And the enmity, the seed of the serpent was in Cain. But because Abel was righteous, and here's a man who died because he was righteous for God, and Cain slew him. And we have many of the big names in the Old Testament, like Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, cast into prison, hated, despised, persecuted in various ways. And you could go to Hebrews 11 and read down the line of those who were sawn asunder, those who were driven out and suffered violence of men, all that history of the Old Testament. Now notice something. Accepting that history of the Old Testament pattern, Jesus was saying, beware. So persecuted they the prophets. There was a prediction in this. Past behavior, past conduct is indicative of future behavior. Don't you think that now, because the gospel has come in its fullness, and I go to the cross and rise from the dead, that every man will say, wonderful Christianity? No, they persecuted the prophets, so they are also going to persecute you. Why is this? What is at the bottom of this hatred, this opposition against the cause of Christ himself and his people and his church? Well, you really have to go back to Genesis 3, the enmity that God would put between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And down through the line of history, there has been this fearful, this embittered hatred of everything that is Christ and Christian. And it will be that way to the end of the world. It will never stop until the Lord returns. And that's why I read Luke 21, where the Lord Jesus talked, they will put you out of the synagogues. And there's another passage where they think they do God's service and they will cast you out, persecuting you, putting you to death. That old seed of the serpent is going to remain in the world. Now we know too that this prediction, because there's a prediction built into verse 12, rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted the prophets which were before you. And that means this is going to continue, and you're going to face it too. And boy, did those early Christians face persecution. Just the name Colosseum would run shivers down the back of any Christian. When you know the history of the hundreds and thousands of Christians that were eaten by lions and butchered by gladiators as a joke and entertainment of Caesar for the people of Rome. Reformation times, millions died under the hatred of the established church of Rome against those who would dare to preach justification by faith alone, the very core doctrine of the gospel. Missionaries hated, killed. Jim Elliot comes to mind as an outstanding pioneer missionary in the raw work of jungle life, killed by the very people he's trying to win. And now the rise of false religions, Muslim powers. And I think also we have to say there's an agenda in our country and Canada to silence Christianity. I think we can only say it's awful grieving that a conservative parliamentarian is sideswiped, set aside, because he would dare say that evolution is only a theory and not a fact. And he realizes his days in politics are numbered, and he plans not to run again in government. That's right in our present day, that there is a silencing factor at work, and it is a political agenda against the gospel of the Lord Jesus. But you know, it may be good for the church. It may be the very thing that will breathe new life into the church of Jesus Christ. While none of us pray for persecution, none of us ask, Lord, bring us trouble and trial that we might be better Christians. We don't pray that way. But in the providence of God, there is a very close link between the word witness and martyr. In the Greek language, it's the exact same word. And if you're really asking the Lord to make you a witness for Christ, it may be that you're going to pay a price for it, whatever that form of persecution may be. And it may weaken up the church. And I say this on the Lord's authority, because he says, blessed are they that are persecuted. And now comes the whole burden of my sermon tonight. How can the Lord possibly say that it's a good thing that you be persecuted? Blessed, happy are those that are reviled and who are ostracized and hated of all men. How can they rejoice and be exceeding glad in the midst of all of this? It seems strange, doesn't it? Well, I've got a few thoughts on this. Firstly, let me say that readiness to suffer persecution for Christ is the ultimate evidence of your conversion to Christ. The very fact that you would even consider paying a price, making a sacrifice, enduring the hatred of men because of your allegiance, your worship of Jesus Christ, that is a tremendous evidence that the Lord has done a miracle of grace within your heart. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for joining with us, and we have just time for a few recap questions. Firstly, where does this hatred or opposition come from? We've got to remember that there are two peoples in the world. There are the children of God and the children of the devil. These are the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. There is a war, or a spiritual warfare and enmity between these two peoples. And when you're a Christian, you're going to find the hostility of the children of this world. And there are many things that will upset them and cause them to be viciously opposed to you. You may ask, why do people hate Jesus' name? When we think of the purity, the power, the blessedness of the Lord, yet that name, the very mention of that name, when it's done so not in a swear word or blasphemously, but when it's done with honor and respect and with due reverence to Jesus' name, it will bring the gaze, become an annoyance to fellow workers and to others in this world. Because there is a spiritual division, and there is no division like a spiritual divide. Now, what does the very word persecute mean? Well, I did lay it out that it is linked to the whole idea of fleeing. And when in the early church people were persecuted, they had to save their lives. And the Lord Jesus said, when you're persecuted, flee to this city or that city. And so there is a link to having to uproot and give up everything you love and know and flee even for your life. Now, the word revile came up in this beatitude, that men will revile you, and that is the personal attack. That means to drag down your name. And this is the sinister, the subtle, the heart-wrenching part of being persecuted or despised as a Christian. And we have to learn to stand up, and we have to learn to expect it and to endure it as a Christian. Now, how do we comfort ourselves in the midst of this? Well, first of all, remember that it's worth it because of the future gain. We are willing to forgo loss in this world for the gain of the world to come. And also remember that Christ is worth it. He is worthy all that he endured and purchased for us and bestows upon us freely. We honor him by enduring the wrath of men and putting up with the evil that works against us. Now, we may lose the body, but praise God, we shall gain our souls. Thank you for tuning in today. Stay tuned for these announcements. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.